Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. We're doing the second half of our show tonight, and we are changing the topic soon. I'm trying to cut off for that song. Okay, here is the audio that I want to play. Here is some information I want to play. I am going to play a few minutes of a song while I contact two co-hosts. I see John and Albert on the line. One moment, please. I will get back to you in a minute. Thank you for waiting. We have Don, John, and Albert on the line. I want to read something first before we get into the next discussion tonight. Baton Rouge Police Chief Murphy Paul announced disciplinary action against officers. This was less than a week ago on Friday. The department released new video showing the incident of Alton Sterling that unfolded that night after the 911 call. Now, keep in mind, it's been 2 years since this happened, practically. Surveillance video from the Triple S convenience store shows Sterling selling DVDs outside and packing up his goods. Now, there were two officers on board, Officer Lake and Officer Salamone. His name is pronounced Salamone, S-A-L-A-M-O-N-I. Video from Lake's body camera shows the officer approaching Sterling, trying to get him to put his hands on the hood of the car and eventually struggling with him on the ground. During the altercation, another person, presumably Salamone, screams, "He's got a gun." Anyways, when Salamone arrived at the same time as Officer Lake, he pulls his gun seconds later, according to the body cam. 10 seconds into the video, as Sterling questions why the officers are trying to detain him, Salamone shouts, "Don't effing move or I'll shoot your effing ass. Put your effing hands on the car." He killed him within 90 seconds. When the officers got up, Sterling is lying on the ground in a pool of blood by the front door of the convenience store with a blood-soaked shirt. A gun is not visible in the video, but Lake tells another officer he put it in his car. Huh, that's interesting. The officer had been responding to a call from a homeless man, that's verifiable, who said Sterling showed him a weapon after he approached Sterling for money. Police say a .38 caliber handgun was found at the scene, but they put it in their car and it never resurfaced. Less than 90 seconds passed from the moment when Lake first approached Sterling to the firing of the final shot. Department of Justice, and they did the report on July 5, 2016. The four videos released Friday include the convenience store surveillance video, as well as two police-worn body cameras and a video recorded by the dash cam in one of the cop cars. Two bystander videos released not long after the shooting had been captured also. So with that, I'll pull in the three hosts. Ben might be recuperating from his road trip. Hi, Don, John, and Albert.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, guys.
Greetings.
John, you get... You get to sacrifice some of your sleep to defend yourself.
Yes. Greetings, 50% of the story, Jane. It is interesting that you don't, we talked earlier, the last episode, you mentioned, well, he was startled and he, how would he know what the police are going to do? You know, maybe he didn't know what was going to happen. It's interesting. He is a convicted felon, which means he was arrested previously, probably had priors, went to court, understood how to have his hands handcuffed and walk and stand before a judge or be taken out to go to prison or whatever they sentenced him to. He's fully aware of police protocol. He's basically knows what police will do to him because he's been arrested before. So I don't understand the ignorance.
He did not know there was a 911 call.
It doesn't
he didn't
matter.
Know that. When they showed up, all of a sudden they showed up.
Yeah,
he had no clue.
He's a felon who's been arrested before. He knows what police will do. He deals with street people, people who do drugs. I work with this every day. Street people on the street know the scene. They know cops. They know drug deals. They know paraphernalia. They're not ignorant. Children, you're talking as though you just stepped out of a another planet and have no idea what humans do. You know the street. You lived on in East LA. Are you ignorant to this reality? He's at a convenience store selling stuff.
It's not so much his police record, which is a lot of things this way people of white privilege bring up. But the fact of the matter is that he was killed within 90 seconds of the cops getting there. There was no verifiable gun, and he didn't know why they were there. Nobody notified him that the 911 was called. Did you know 911 was called by a homeless man? A homeless man called 911.
They don't know.
Again,
how long does it take to shoot and kill someone? About 0.4 seconds. It doesn't take 90 seconds. By the time you go 1,000, boom, that's it. I'm talking about to shoot someone, it only takes less than a second. So, and they don't know if a homeless person called them. They're responding to a call that there's someone with a gun. The reason why they're trying to arrest him, they want to find out.
It was a homeless person who called. He was well-known in the neighborhood. I still think it was wrong. I have the right to think that.
So homeless people cannot report a crime. Homeless people are ignorant.
According to the cop, right?
He did a crime?
That's what he wrote on his report.
The homeless person asked.
The police report was.
He asked him for money. That was
the homeless guy called.
Sorry.
Right.
I'm down the line. I'm pulling Ben in.
The cops are going there to see if there is a situation, to see if he has a gun, to see if something dangerous is going to happen. They go up to him, sir, show me your hands. We want to see if you're a weapon. We're going to check you. And he's like, no, dude, I'm good. I have the right to be here. Who are you to tell me what to do or whatever? You know, that's why they wrestle with them. That's why they say, put your hands on the car. He's already been arrested before. He's fully aware of what he's doing. He's pushing the envelope, and he had drugs in his system. And so you're telling me that the cops are supposed to go, you know,
you
own the
– What website did you find that on that he has drugs in his system?
If you read the article on it, it says – there's several articles, but it says – because they go through the cop telling him, mother effing bitch, I will kill you. And then it says that, let me read here. Actually, they're gathering information. Landry, who's is he one of the attorneys? He says in a statement, or whoever Landry is, he says in a statement before adding that the officers responded, I think it's the chief, acted under the presumption that Sterling was armed. That was the presumption because they were told that by a witness, and that the events transpired very quickly, which they did, and that Sterling had drugs in his system. And let's see who Landry is.
Well,
he's probably
he just,
the...
according to the report I'm reading, he was a marijuana smoker.
Attorney General Jeff Landry. So he's already said the guy had drugs in his system, which means his attitude's going to be tweaked. And the fact is, you know...
they were saying he had drugs in his system, like he's crazy, he's got drugs in his system, but there was, you know, there's no proof on the bio to see where they, you know, open his body open and they see if the drugs are in, you know.
Well, I don't think the attorney general is going to say he has drugs. Just, you know, I don't think the attorney general is going to state he has drugs in his system if he can't verify that. He's a legal person. They don't throw out stuff like that unless they can verify it.
I just have a quick announcement. We're only spending 5 more minutes on this case because this topic on this show is Trump's order to alter the line of succession of the U.S. Justice Department. So I'm not changing the description again. I'm going to let Albert, Ben, and Don talk. The only thing I have to say is, and I'm just going to repeat myself, you don't have to agree, he was well known in the neighborhood. Everybody knew him. I looked up his criminal record. He did have some crazy ass shit in there. But the fact of the matter is, the last couple years, he only had minor offenses, like not wearing a seatbelt, failure to renew registration, possession of a drug, and possession of marijuana with no conclusion.
Matter. When a cop shows to a situation, he doesn't know. I'm a good citizen. You know, when they pull me over, they go the whole top to bottom on me. I go, but I own a condo. I'm on the church board. I start talking about the church on Parole. So they go, sir, they don't get friendly until they're finished checking you out. The cop never, you obviously haven't been a police officer or worked with someone because you can't go off of what you feel, what you think. You have to assess the situation, contain the situation.
Well, you know what? You're defending these rinky-dink cops and they got canned. One of them's gone for good.
Logic, and
he
I'm defending.
He violated the department policy. He violated the Baton Rouge Police Department policy. He's a goner.
And whatever they violated.
Go ahead and defend him. Let Ben or Don or Albert say something. I'm done.
Exactly did he violate?
I'm still hung
go
up on James' statement.
I'm defending police action.
That's fine. Go ahead and defend them.
But they still killed him
in 90 seconds, and they swore at him. And they also, one of the cops got fired because of his temper.
You're saying that a cop has to wait 2 hours before he fires and shoots at someone in a situation that he could get shot and killed in less than 1 second. Is that what you're saying, Jay?
John, how about this?
I don't think he's going to get shot and killed by a gold-tooth video salesman. Those sorry-ass cops, they abuse their power.
You're saying that after the fact, as a cop walking up, you don't know the situation. That's why they're trying to figure it out. You don't know that. You're going 2020. Okay. Oh, he had
Let
CDs.
Let somebody else
talk,
John. I'm going to mute you for a minute while they talk. Okay, I hate
go
to
right
do it,
ahead.
But I'm going to do it. Go
yeah.
ahead.
I wanted to ask John this. So let's just say that, you know, John, right? Let's just say you're having an argument with your mom, right? You and your mom are having an argument. Somebody calls the police for some reason and says your mom has a gun. Okay, and for some random stranger, right, does it, right? So you're having an argument with your mom. The police get there, and your mom's really pissed off and doesn't want to deal with them, cusses at them, and in 90 seconds, you know, the police shoot her because she went to go sit down on the sofa and they thought she had a gun right underneath the sofa or next to the sofa just because she wanted to sit
John,
down. Now they shot
mute.
And killed your mom. So let's just say this happened to your mom. So how would things change for you then, right? Would you still defend them?
Well, let me answer that question. If I'm not censored on a show that actually prides itself in uncensoring and free speech, apparently we also don't enforce the First Amendment as you attack those who handle the Second Amendment. So let's just answer that question.
We let you speak. We let you speak. You've been dominating the whole show. And I never
Absolutely.
Said that I was enforcing the First Amendment. This is the Kremlin.
Because
And the other time I didn't even get to finish my sentence because you interrupted me. But go on.
Go right ahead. Well, yeah, okay, let's say how many women, what percentage of women are in prison for shooting someone with a handgun versus males? It's going to be 98% or 95% or whatever.
Don't twist it to sexual. Don't twist it to female, male. He's just asking you, if your mom was shot by the cops because they assume she had a gun, how would you respond?
Did you hear what I just said? He gave the situation. He made it sexual. He said your mom, and therefore how should they respond to mom? And I'm saying 95%, talking by numbers, not being sexual, just by numbers, 95%. You're playing odds, right? You're a cop. You've got to work with percentages. A kid is not probably going to be – a five-year-old's not going to be running around with a handgun. A woman's going to be 5 out of 100. So 95%, it's got to be a guy. You see a woman, a mom, you go, she's probably not going to do it. Just by numbers. You
it
see
doesn't even
African
matter. I can say your dad.
Male.
What about your dad? Let's just change that to your dad. One word in the sentence, your dad.
That changes the situation. It does. It has to factor into that.
And so, so that means if it's your dad or your mom, that'll change the situation, and you'll defend or not defend depending if it's your dad or your mom.
You'll still do the same protocol, but you will be more aware of the male presence. Let me give it a situation. One time when I was married, 26 years
my
old.
Question, you haven't answered my question, though. You're going around. I just wanted you to answer my question.
I am answering your question.
Would you still defend the police officer if he killed your mom or dad under the same situation?
If my dad was a dumbass and did not – I'm going to answer your question with the story I'm about to tell you before you interrupted me. I was married, the first couple of years of marriage. I'm about 26 or so. My wife's like 21. She's beautiful, cute. We're church people, peaceful, whatever. 2 a.m, we get a knock on the door. And I look through the people, it's a cop, and I hear the radio correspondence. I know it's a cop. I think it's a cop. He's got his badge on. And so he says, we had a 911 call here. We're responding to it. I said, "What? Well, your phone called, our phone called them on a 911. I said, well, we're asleep. There's no way we could have called, but apparently it auto-dialed or somehow it tripped, and 911 got it, and they thought there was a situation. So you know what he asked me to do? He says, sir, I want you to stay right here. And where's your wife? And then she's like, there. And okay, is there any other people in the house? He said, no. I said, I want you to stay right here. We're going to go through the house and check because there could be a guy in the back who has a kid hostage. And we're saying yes, and they leave, and there's problems. So they went through the whole place after they secured the scene. Then they said, we're so sorry. We apologize, but we got to recall we're just following protocol. That's what happens. I wasn't offended. I didn't jump at them and go, you don't have the right to be here. Who are you? I got my constitutional. No. And I lived. What's wrong?
Okay. Let me put it this way, okay? What about, like, your dad, right? Let's just say your dad's, right? He's not a dumbass, right? But let's just say your dad's very sick. He's very sick, and he needs to take his medicine right now. And he needs to go to his bedroom and grab his medicine and take it right now, or else he's going to, you know, fall down and die or whatever, you know. And he's got to go and take that medicine right now. And the police saying, sit there, and he's standing there, don't move, you know. And you're going to stand there and don't move for like 10 minutes while I talk to you. You can't move. You got to stand there and with your hands up and talk to me right there for 10 minutes. And your dad can't do that. He's got to take his medicine. And so he's going to go back and say, I got to take my medicine. Let me just go there. I'm not going to grab a gun. You can follow me or whatever. You know, it's not that he's stupid, but sometimes things happen. And so he's got to go to get his medicine, and then he gets shot. How are you going to – so what are you going to think about that then?
That's another case. Hypothetical.
These
are all
the
hypotheticals.
But let's go with that. They will review the case and go, did they follow protocol? Did they use reasonable judgment, you know, or not? And if they didn't, they will have to face the consequences, hopefully. And I do pray when cops do something horrendously bad, they should horrendously pay. But in this case, you gave a totally opposite hypothetical. A minority on a street corner at a convenience store where people do drug deals and other things like that, because that's what people do at street corners in front of a convenience store. convenience store at night, and he is a big guy. He's not a small gal. He's not a woman. He's not a child. And he does fit the profile because he has actually taken drugs. He probably has a little bit of an attitude when they show up, as shown by the fact he resisted their instructions. So that tells the cop right off the top, this guy is not going to play ball with us. We're going to start to go to another level, right? They're going to say, okay, hands on the hood, and we're going to cuff him, and then we'll check you out. And he didn't comply. They tasered him or wrestled with him. What's a cop going to do when they wrestle? Now, I guess in your world, you want him to back away and say, do whatever you need to do tonight. We're going to ask you, please. And then if they say no, he's going to, well, he said no. I don't want problems. I'm going to go. I'm a cop. We don't do that kind of stuff. Is that how they should respond?
Can you give Ben and Don a chance to talk?
I just asked you, how is that how you want them to respond?
So you want them to shoot them, even though they don't have a gun on them. You don't see a gun. Like, it's okay for me. If the cop sees a gun, he just shoot him, of course, no problem. But he didn't saw a gun in the first place, right? So he's going to shoot him, right? So let's just put it this way. Let's go back to that scenario, right? Let's just say your dad falls down and has a seizure, right? He falls down and has a seizure, and the cop thinks that he's going down underneath the table to grab a gun to shoot him. So he shoots him while he fell down and have a seizure. He shoots your
dad.
That's
not what happened. What if your dad instead said, I have to go to the bathroom, and the cop says, you can go. But instead, what happens if the guy starts running to the bathroom, the cop says, hold it for a second, the guy doesn't communicate that to him, and so they grab him because they don't know if he's going to get a gun, and in the and the guy's resisting. The point is, you're giving a different hypothetical, but again, you know what it is? You don't get it. You think that if people resist and fight with a cop, that a cop should just therefore let him have his ass get kicked and let him pull the gun. I live in a world where I want the cop to say, you put your hands on the dash. If they don't comply and they wrestle with the cop, I give the cop full authority to take them down. And if he has to shoot him, shoot him. Now, that's my reality. You live in a different world. That's okay. I respect that. I'm not going to say you're stupid,
if you become a cop, you know, just because you can shoot somebody and you have a gun and you can't even wrestle anybody, I mean, if you can't even handle somebody with your bare hands, then you shouldn't be a cop. If you can't wrestle somebody down and tackle them and cuff them down, then you shouldn't be a cop.
If a cop feels his life is in danger... So you're saying if a cop feels his life is in danger, it's okay not to use the weapons he has there. What is the gun there for?
Did he have a knife? Was he stabbing the cop? Was he overpowering the cop? I mean, was he stabbing the cop or hitting the cop with a bat or something?
The minute you grab a person and they wrestle with you, they are within, again, less than a second of grabbing your firearm and shooting you. Do you agree on that?
Yes, but was there any evidence of him reaching for his gun? Was there anybody saying that he was trying to reach for his gun? Did that ever come across? No.
You have a gun in your house. Can I go over there and can we wrestle? Well, you have a gun on you, and shall we see how you will respond? If you know you have the legal right to own your place and I'm on your property and I shouldn't be there, and you say, please get off my property, will you shoot me or will you wrestle with me and see if you can beat me before pulling your arm? Or will you pull your gun and say, off my property?
Now you're going to the hypothetical question that you were just talking about, hypothetical.
That's the same thing. They told the guy that
happened to that one guy.
You guys are butting heads on hypotheticals.
Mario, he's been on his own property. He was on someone else's property. A cop approaches him. He resists. A cop pulls a gun. So I go on your property, and you tell me to leave or identify, and I come towards you, and I start and I rest. You come to me, and you say, get off my property. And I say, I won't. So then you try to contain me, and I wrestle with you, and you have a gun on you. So you're saying that you should try to whoop it out with me before you pull your gun? Is that what you would do? That's why you have the gun, right?
Yeah. Well, if I'm a – listen, If I can't wrestle anybody, I wouldn't be a police officer. I would if I can't wrestle anybody. If I'm too scared to wrestle anybody because that person's gonna overpower me and I can't physically protect myself because I'm not strong enough for anybody to wrestle with me, then I would not be a cop. I wouldn't take a job as a police officer because I can't tackle anybody
Albert, that statement doesn't go very far in today's society. You cannot push the fact that only an alpha male can take a position because you're actually shooting yourself in the foot, pun intended, by saying something like that.
Personally, I would not be a police officer if I can't tackle somebody and handcuff them and wrestle them. And you know what I mean? If I can't grab somebody and put his hands in the back and handcuff him, if I'm way too weak to do any of that stuff, I wouldn't be a police officer. I would not be a police officer. And for those senior citizen police officers that want to go out, you know, go on jobs, you know, instead of sitting in the back at the table, go on jobs, you know, they're taking a risk because they're not physically capable. So all they can do is shoot their gun. And so, you know, but those that are physically capable, like that one police officer who shot that guy, right? He's not an old senior citizen. He doesn't have heart problems, you know what I mean?
You're forgetting half of the workforce.
He's done anyway.
Albert?
Well,
you're forgetting half of the workforce of law enforcement. How many patrol officers are female? How many people in the academy are trying to get in to become a police officer as a career that are female or small males? Look at the demographic of what you're talking about. These people have jobs. If you agree that being a police officer is a career, a job where people have families and they go to work to enforce laws that we vote for, and then they want to go back home and have dinner with their family too. So how many times do you have to touch a burning hot stove to do things smart? I mean, 3-year-olds learn that a stove is hot because they might have touched it once. But if you're a police officer and you get screwed by trusting the wrong person or get into a physical altercation, someone grabs your gun and shoots your partner, why would you even go into a physical wrestling match with somebody like that?
What you're saying that every time there's a physical altercation with the police should always shoot people every time. So that's what you want. Every time there's a physical altercation with the police, they say shoot the guy and kill him every time. They should do that every time there's a physical altercation, right?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm actually defending the fact that
Can Don say something?
I wanted to clear up my argument.
The only black guy on the show?
Of course he can.
You've brought up identity politics twice now, Jane. First, white privilege.
You know what?
And then mentioning there's a black person on the show.
You know what? I'm sick of it. The reason why is because the federal government went down there and did an investigation in Baton Rouge, and they determined that the police did not act appropriately, and so did the Baton Rouge Police Department. So maybe you can defend police in most cases, but in this case, they didn't act right. And sometimes I have to say things like that to get you guys' attention.
Well, but the thing is that, first of all, this situation wasn't a cop walking up and just shooting someone. There was resistance. There was circumstances that were shady, and there was an altercation. And going back to the fact, it doesn't matter how big you are. You could be a smaller person if you know the right move or martial arts or you know how to grapple. A cop doesn't know what your skill level is or what your knowledge is, or even accidental, a cop can slip and you can twist his arm and grab his gun. It still doesn't matter. You're not supposed to be able to physically beat up everyone in every situation. You at some time, if a person resists, they did taser him, at least according to this thing. So it just sounds like basically you want to find situations where cops made a mistake out of the thousands of times, but you don't go talk about all the times cops get shot innocently by people on the streets. You talk about the criminal. You talk about the good guys who screw up.
Well, look at this physical altercation, right? Physical altercation, the first thing he reaches is his gun and shoots it, right? And when he couldn't go out for a taser or pepper spray, you know, or first thing goes, they go
That's
first.
That's not what happened. That's not what happened. They wrestled with him, and then he pulled out his gun, put it to his head, and said, "I will shoot you." At that point, don't you think the person is supposed to say, "Oh, he's serious"? He didn't walk up to him and put a gun to his head. He told him to stop. He tried to identify him. They tried to put. He said, "Put your hands on the hood." It was when he failed to comply, then he pulled out the gun.
You're reading the police report. That's the police report that you're reading. You weren't there.
Look at the difference.
I'm looking at the picture. They're wrestling with him, and then they shoot him. They put a gun to his head. I mean, that's what the witnesses said, right? They put a gun to his head and said, "We will shoot you."
Put him in handcuffs?
Now, the witness said, wait. Did the witness said that at court, or did the witnesses told the police officer and the police officer wrote that report? Because I used to read the police officer report. How
the
do you
reason,
know?
The reason we're discussing this, guys, is because the body cam was released this week. That's why it's relevant. And the police chief decided to fire Blaine Salamone. That's
if
why
he was easily if he
Albert,
if he was easily
it was shown.
You just asked
two of the
question.
Body cams were released this week. That's why the evidence is prominent. Can
if
I just say one thing, John, and then you can talk the whole night. Chief Paul said that Officer Salamone had violated the department use of force rules, and Lake had violated its policies on sustaining commander temper. The chief police spoke in generalities, but he said one officer attempted to use de-escalation and disengagement techniques consistent with policy and procedure and training, and the other one did not follow the tactics, training, professionalism, and organizational standards. His conclusion was fear cannot be a driver for an officer's response to every incident. Unreasonable fear with an officer is dangerous.
And what I'm saying, if they could have easily handcuffed him, don't you think they would have done it? That's why they were wrestling with him. That's why they told him to put his hands on the hood so they could handcuff him or see what he had going on, and he refused to do that. That's why they were wrestling on the ground. But I also agree, if they violated procedure and protocol, then they should be tried or penalized accordingly. But the point is, again, we're not going over a case. I'm totally game with that. But the point is, I want my cops to be able to defend me and do their jobs and live. And I'm not concerned that much about convicts running around with guns and doing their business and not complying and making my life dangerous. Those are the people I'm afraid of. So in your world, you're not afraid of that. You're afraid of the cops. I get that. I respect that. I don't want to live in your world.
The only thing I can – I'm going to let John and Ben go or Albert next, but I have one thing to say. I lived in three different parts of the South. I lived in Virginia, North Carolina, and Oklahoma. It's not L.A. where everything's brutal and the police are suspicious all the time. People know each other in those neighborhoods. People are low-key. And I know this Alton Sterling was not a model citizen, but rushing to shoot somebody without trying to use some other alternatives, because one of the officers did try to tase him. You know, there are other options, and yes, I'm not a cop and I don't know everything, but I just think in the type of cultural climate Baton Rouge has, that they didn't have to rush to kill him. And that's my
final statement on that.
Here's the thing. When I judge somebody, I ask a question. And that's how the person, that's the evidence right there. But I never assume anything. I never assume to say, oh, yeah, well, in his world, he's afraid of the cop. That's called assuming it, judging with assuming. You're assuming by judging. And that's, you know, that's no evidence. There's no evidence behind that. I'm not afraid of the police, and I shouldn't be. And there's a lot of things that go wrong. There's bad police officers, good police officers. You know, there's a lot of different type of people. So you got to understand there's human error and human, you know, a police officer is a human being just like anybody else. And it's going to have, you know, they're going to be open to, how do you say, corruption just like anybody else. They're going to be open to personal opinion just like anybody else. And they're going to be open to bias just like anybody else. They're not robots, right? So, you know, you can't always say the police officer is doing a perfect job and everything he did was perfect and he did exactly what he was supposed to do, especially when you weren't there. So, you know, that's a big problem with the system because some people out there are just quickly to defend the police officer without even being there. And I'm not even personally, this police officer in this case, I'm not even attacking him. I'm just doing critical thinking of the situation. I'm laying in opinions on how maybe the things should have been taken care of or what should have been done or stuff like that. But I'm not saying he's a bad police officer and what he did is bad or, you know, and he should be fired and he should go to jail. I'm not saying that either, that, because I wasn't there. I wasn't there to see it myself. I wasn't there. But I'm not quick to protect the police officer 100% and say what he did was right and he should be scot-free and everything else because he did the right thing. You know, I'm not quickly to defend him either. So I'm not personally attacking this police officer. Again, I'm only critical thinking about the situation. That's all.
Well, if you were walking up to... Oh, go ahead.
The fact of the matter is John, I mean, yes, you're right. He should have put his hands in, cooperated. But that was this is factually a white set of cops on another black man. This is fact. So there is that gray area of excessive force, and apparently, I believe with the firing of one, and some of the other information that's coming out of it, that he may have been. Acting incorrectly and ill, and I don't know. Selling cigarettes on the street is illegal, but the bottom line is that he did not need to die, no matter what, because they saw that he was relatively unarmed. He had already been put on the car aggressively, and he did not have the opportunity to. Once he got in that situation.
Don, here's a question, Don. It's let's say you've got one of your grandkids visiting with you, and you've got auntie or someone with them, and you're feeling ill, so you need them to go to the corner store to pick up some cough syrup for you.
Right.
You go down with auntie. And there's two convenience stores. At one corner, there's a convenience store with a cop car in the front and an officer. He's drinking some coffee. And on the other corner, there's a convenience store and there's a brother man on the corner, kind of a big brother man. He's got some CDs, maybe some music playing. Maybe he's kind of dancing along because he's kind of a little bit high. Which convenience store would you prefer that auntie and your grandchild go to? Do you feel terrified that they would go to the one with the cop drinking coffee, or the one with the brother man out front, because, you know, we don't want to be prejudiced because it's a white cop and we have a black guy out there. Which one? I'm talking just hypothetical. If you were to advise them, you can't go with them, which one would you tell them to go to? Or you don't care either way, based on your experience?
I don't care either way. If it's a black auntie and I'm a black kid with auntie, I don't have a problem going to either one because I know that I'll be safe.
Female with a small child.
Female was a black female or a white female or a
Mexican. At 10 o'clock at night, your wife with one of the grandchildren. I'm talking common sense, street sense, Don. You would actually have to go in front of the. You said, no problem. Got the brother man outside.
No problem.
Popping.
No problem.
You got no problem.
Not
okay.
not with my wife. Hell no. I have no problem.
Okay.
If she were auntie, she would take care of business.
Would statistics back up your assessment or your decision, your advice to them? Would statistics support that?
They would be
safe in either situation, going to the place where there's police presence or going to a place where there's just street people hanging out. Because it's not just the brother man, it's people walking in and out going, hey, what's up, brother? And they're like hanging out and they're smoking some cigarettes or real handing stuff to each other. It's the hood.
It's the hood. You just answered the question. It does. If you're in the hood, if you're in the hood, there may not be a possibility that you have a car to drive halfway across town. You live in Los Angeles, halfway across town is 6 miles in traffic, no matter what time of day it is. So
I don't being honest. Tell your wife, like, you know what, just like I think I would advise them. No, there's a cop there. I would steer them that way if I was walking. That's just me.
My wife is a Los Angeles native, and there's very little that scares her from anything. If she were auntie with her nephew. Now, as a mother, I don't know if she or one of his other aunties would do that, but my wife wouldn't have any problem going into either store. So,
I bicycle at night, and I can only tell you, when I see a street dude walking along down Pico or Lincoln, and it's 10 or 11 at night, and there's no other people around, it's just kind of me and them, I flare out about 10 yards or I go to the other side of the street. I don't go side by side right up to them. And I'm just telling you by experience how come, because they will try to bum rush you. Now, is it everyone? No. It's like 1 out of 1,000. And when I'm wrong, I've had people like try to throw a pole at me. I've had people try to run me down and grab me. So, again, based on my personal experience, I would be a dead or an injured person based on your assessment or your advice that you just gave.
And that's you. You are a single – okay. There is a maternal
woman, child, guy.
There's a maternal fatherly instinct in everyone, and that doesn't in every man. It doesn't matter if he's, you know, a gangbanger or a doggone street thug or gay, straight, whatever. There's a paternal instinct towards every woman, child, whatever. And those folks would be much more likely, if you did that 10-foot flare out, they'd run after you and leave the lady and the kid alone.
That's not true, Don, because if that was true, no rapes would ever happen.
Right.
Well, some people don't have that.
Well, I don't know about being raped. That wasn't in the equation. But
I'm just saying a general statement like that. That's definitely not true because of the amount of people who are raped or molested. That is not a fatherly instinct. That is the lack of. It's a general
but
term.
I've been in it before. So I can give this answer specifically about my family. We don't fear anybody. Anytime, anywhere, and I instinctually entrusted them with that trust, with that capability.
It's
going to
cut off in 1 minute.
All right. Well, I'm just saying.
Go ahead, Don. It's going to cut off.
How you teach your family is how they act and react, and there is a vibe. There's some kind of an aura over people who are saying, hey, I'm weak, I'm going to flare out 10 feet, or I need a gun, or whatever the case may be. Or there's an aura of people that say, I'm above this, I can take care of it, I can handle it, and I'll do it.
I've never asked to be escorted out of a building as a male, never in my life. But women always ask a man to escort them to the car late at night in the parking lot, always. Women always ask. And there's a reason why. You know that, Don.
The reason why it's tradition, as I mentioned in the first segment, it's not for any fear factor. It's being a
really?
romantic gentleman. And that's the reason. It's not because I can't walk in my garage or my backyard without an escort.